I want to invite you tonight to turn in your Bibles back to the book of 2 Thessalonians as we finish this up this evening. And just to recap what we talked about this morning, won't take but just a moment to do this. Some had asked me about that, if I would do that. They're writing these down, so if you would like to write them down, here we go. Of course, the scripture itself is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the focal passage that we're looking at this evening is verses 3 through 17. Verses 3 through 17, that is the entire, basically the entire chapter, okay? We're talking about the church that continues to grow, has an understanding of eschatology. The end times, the study of end times, if you will. The things that are going on or the things that were yet to go on. And you know, my brother mentioned that here just a few moments ago, and how we should anticipate and really embrace the coming of the Lord. It's not something to be afraid of. It's really something to be excited about. But in the meantime, as my brother said that, and as our sister just sang, we need to be, in the meantime, worshiping and praising God and just thinking for Him. We don't need to sit around and have an anxious spirit or just be engulfed by anxiety or worry over this. Listen, tonight, if you are a born-again believer, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You really don't, all right? But having an understanding of this and something that, as I shared with you this morning, I'm struggled with and still struggling with. And I'll just come down on this here in just a few moments with you. The points are this, as we talked about this morning, if you're writing these down. Number one is this, is the apostasy or the falling away that Paul speaks of there in verse 3. And then secondly is the coming of the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction or son of perdition, as some translations say. And then under that one point of subpoints that follow is this, he will, in other words, the characteristics of who this individual will be, and it'll be a sure sign of who he is. He will be opposed to every form of God and our act of worship. Not only in that, but he will exalt himself above all of that, saying that he is above that. And secondly is this, he will take his seat in the temple of God and will display himself as being God. That's the second subpoint to that second point we have. The third is this, in verses 5 and through 7, we're told that he is restrained at this particular time. He is restrained, held back. We talked just a few moments this morning about there's many who theorize of who that is restraining the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. And the final thing is this, in verses 8 through 12, we read and find where there is the appearing of Jesus and this son of destruction, of perdition, being destroyed, basically, or slain, as the Word of God tells us there. This evening, sitting in here, and I just want to say this for the record, if there is a record, I want to say this for the record. You know, tonight you can really get caught up in all of this eschatology, the study of that, and there's nothing wrong with that. For some, I know there's some in this room here tonight. Myself and them, we've had great discussion over this in the last few weeks. I say discussion, sometimes debate over this, and it makes for good discussion, good debate, and there's nothing wrong with that, none whatsoever. And tonight, in all honesty, this evening, I know I mentioned these things this morning, talked about premillennialism and amillennialism, postmillennialism. At the very core of that, it really doesn't matter your stance on the millennium and the thought of the tribulation, things such as that. What matters tonight is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that is paramount. That overshadows any of that. You know, you can sit back and I can sit back and we can debate whether we're pre, post, or all millennialist, whether we will or will not go through the tribulation. And really, that is irrelevant compared to your salvation. If tonight you don't have salvation, you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the least of your worries then is your stance on the millennium. Because tonight, then your case and your destiny, according to the Word of God, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then your destiny tonight is hell. And that's worse than any tribulation anybody will ever go through. All right. The last thing I want us to see this evening is simply this. This is the third point, and we'll close with this one tonight. And that is entitled, Living the Life. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me before we get there. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray now, God, in this moments that we have together to look at your word. I pray for your words to be heard much louder than mine. God, I want your people to hear from you. I realize, God, that there are preachers, ministers as myself that you use to do that. But God, I pray they would hear the voice that's much louder than mine and much clearer. And Father, in a lot of cases, my case anyway, makes a whole lot more sense. Father, I pray tonight that we would hear you. And Father, that we'd see what the most important thing is tonight. When it comes to eschatology, Lord, yes, there is a study of the end times. But God, as we study that, may we truly be living the life tonight, God. Lord, may we see that through your word now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I don't know about you, but what time is it? About 20 after 6. This time, was it this time last night or was it over by now? No, it wasn't over. I about this time last night, I think yesterday my wife and I, we were at the beach Friday and yesterday, and we come back early this morning, and I felt like some of those runners. There was a marathon, I think it was a marathon, being run in Panama City yesterday by the Ocean Conservancy, and it was about 15-mile run. It was from, to give you an idea of this, it was from Pier Park, the entrance to Pier Park, to the end of Front Beach Road, where that Winn-Dixie's at, and back. Now, there were some of them, and we just got out. Now, we did, as my thought of running a marathon is getting in a truck and driving down the street and watching everybody else run, and that's what we did. So we got up in the morning, and we went down by Mike's Diner. I'm sure many of you know what that place is. Man, they have some of the best breakfast. Whoa, my gracious. and we ate breakfast there, and then we got in and said, hey, let's exercise a little bit. Let's go watch some people run. And so that's what we did. We got in the vehicle, and we headed west. And man, look at them people run. Man, that one's tired. Look at him. And there were some of them that actually was to the point they were no longer running. Honestly, they were down to a slow walk. I mean, they had gotten to the point of just almost collapse, it seems, if some of them, you know, and there were those others that, my gracious, they may still be running now. They're in such good shape. But I watched that, and then yesterday evening we got home and we began to watch, as many of you did, I'm sure, watch the football game. And obviously, I'm Alabama fan, and I pray that this is never shown, but there is a video of this, me watching the game, and it does exist. And there's a picture, there is your pastor. Many of you have been with me and watched football games with me, and I am a different person, to say the least, when I watch football games, especially Alabama. And there is one point that I am there, and I am just like this. And I am about to snap the ball myself. Because they're not doing it right. I know how to do this. I don't care how much they're paying Nick Saban. He's wrong. But I got to thinking about that today. Well, I was excited. I really was. To the point at halftime, I decided I'd go down to the gas station and fill up the car with gas in my Alabama attire. Well, lo and behold, it seemed like every Georgia fan in the country was down there. I got to thinking about that, being there just like this right here, and anticipating a great play. I mean, I was. There's a lot of other people, I'm sure. Maybe you wasn't hunched over and ready to snap the ball or anything like that, but you were anticipating something good, wasn't you? You were anticipating. Now, lo and behold, every Alabama fan in the United States was holding their breath to the last 5 seconds of that football game. But, I really got to thinking about that. Every one of us, we ought to be anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. And, we ought to be, listen to this tonight, as excited, and I know I do, I admit this, I get beside myself. I get beside myself in football games. I really do. I mean, I just have a... You know what, guys? Listen to me. We ought to be that excited in our Christian life. We really ought to. We really ought to be excited about the things of God. We ought to be excited. Listen, we ought to be excited about Christ's return. That's not a bad thing. Praise God, that's a good thing tonight. I shared with you this morning, what I think about my children and what they may face in the years to come. And many of you sitting in here, your children and your grandchildren and maybe even your great-grandchildren, what will they face? It would just bless my heart that the only thing they got to face is Jesus Himself. Oh, my gracious. Over the years of being a pastor, though, I've actually had people tell me this. I'm not ready for Jesus to come back. Believers. Well, what are you waiting on around here? What? And you know what? As we really begin to dive in this and really see all the things, especially Paul writes here, and my gracious, you get over into Revelation and you read all of those things there when it comes to eschatology, and you read all of those things, and whoo, if you get wrapped up in that, I'm here to tell you tonight, you can scare yourself to death. Amen. I mean, you can really just scare yourself. But guys, listen to me. You read this. You read what Paul writes and you get caught up in verses 1 through 12 and you leave out the remainder of that chapter, you miss the best part. You really did, because see what Paul says here in the last few verses of this chapter. He really says that we, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Grandview, and the church of the living God, we ought to be living the life. Notice what he says here in verse 13. He says these words, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts with every good work and word. I love it. Paul really says to the church at Thessalonica and the church here tonight, live the life. Live what life? Live the Christian life. Yes, we should be here anticipating Christ's return, but in the meantime, as we're anticipating that, live the life that you and I have been called to live. Live the life of a believer tonight. There's several things that Paul, I want to mention to you here right quick, that Paul mentions here in these verses that we need to be aware of tonight when it comes to living the life. Number one is this. Listen to what he says here. Number one, we should always live a life of thanksgiving. Live a life of thanksgiving. Do you realize this tonight? Every person in this room, you are truly, truly blessed tonight. You really are. I shared here Wednesday night with the folks that were here. Do you realize tonight that you are in the minority when it comes to the worship, the place we hold worship services here tonight? Did you realize that a building such as this right here in comparison to the world, that this is in the minority here? Did you realize tonight that sitting in this room right here tonight and sitting in those comfortable chairs, those chairs like there, that really you can get so comfortable that you want to go to sleep in? Those chairs that are so comfortable, and this warm air and this cool air that's blowing in here. Did you realize tonight that we are in the minority tonight when it comes to things such as that? That tonight that they are actually people who are believers this evening. Listen to this. That they are actually people who are believers tonight. That the churches they worship in, the materials that were gained to build those buildings, they actually dug out of trash dumps. They actually rummaged through other people's garbage to find enough material to build a place of worship. And I have sat back, listen to this, I have sat back in 17 years of ministry, and I have literally sat back and listened to believers complain and argue over the color of carpet in a sanctuary. God help us all. Thank God tonight for what we have. Thank God tonight. I praise God tonight. Listen, I have never been to another country. I've never been outside the United States of America. Hadn't been too many places in the United States of America. But I sat back and I listened to my brother and the teams that we've sent all over the world, and we listen to these people as they come back and we hear the stories that they tell and the things that they have experienced firsthand. And listen, we don't really know what hard times are. We won't go home tonight and live in a house where there is actually sewage running through our house, that there is actually a mud floor that we walk in, and all. We won't do that. My gracious, we'll walk into a house that has carpet, has floors, this type thing, has windows, has air conditioning, has heat. We have probably have food in the refrigerator, and we will actually have to sit back and make a decision whether or not we want the ham sandwich or the bologna sandwich. I'm going to go with the ham myself. Amen, Zach. you know what I see what I'm saying? The Bible says we ought to be thankful. Paul says that we should live a life of thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful. Why? Notice what he says. But always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of by the Lord, because, here we go, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. We could walk off into, listen, in that one phrase, we could walk off into a debate and a discussion over predestination. I mean, we could walk off in that here tonight and be totally caught up in that. I don't want to do that. Don't want to do it. That's another sermon, another discussion. What I want you to hear and see tonight through that word right there is this one fact, that from the very beginning of time, God Himself in His grand plan had and wanted us to have the opportunity tonight to experience salvation. It's your decision and it's my decision whether we will or will not experience that. And I praise God tonight that I have experienced that. Have you experienced that? Amen. I praise God tonight that He give me that choice. He give me a free will whether I can accept that or deny that. It is from the very beginning. Take your Bibles, keep your hands there in 2 Thessalonians, and turn with me now back to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Turn back there with me for just a moment, please. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Keep your hand in 2 Thessalonians because we're going back to that, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, when you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 5, the Bible tells us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation." He is telling Jeremiah right here, before you were ever born, I knew you. Before you were ever born, I knew you. Man. You know what, tonight, there is thanksgiving within that statement itself. He knew us. He knew us tonight before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. He knew us way before that. Paul writes right here back in 2 Thessalonians. He says, "Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, it is God's desire that all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is His desire that all know Jesus." Here, just a week or so ago, I was having a discussion with someone about salvation. And this person made this statement. They said these words. And it was the first time I really heard somebody say this. They said, "You know what? God found me." And I've always heard people say it around, maybe along these lines. Well, he or she found Jesus. Well, you've often heard this thing right here. Well, Jesus ain't never been lost. And you see, there is a certain amount of theological truth in that first statement, that God found you. See, because you think about this right here for just a moment. And I told this person this. I said, "Hey, listen, I just want to commend you, because you know what? You're dead on to that right there. Because for us, there wasn't just one day in my life anyway. There just wasn't a day that I just got up one morning and said, 'Hey, I think today, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to the church house and I'm going to find Jesus and I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to go down there and find Jesus.' No. There was a day in your life and in my life that we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we fell under the convicting spirit of God Almighty, and through His conviction and His leadership, we were led to salvation," as the Word of God says right here. Notice what He says again. He says these words, "Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." Thanks be unto God that there was a day in your life tonight, listen to me, for every believer in this room right here tonight, I'm not saying a specific time, I'm not that you know the specific date, but there ought to be an event in your life where you can go back to and say at that very moment, right then, that is when I prayed, I confessed with my mouth, and I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead, that I confess my sins openly to Him. I ask Him to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and be Lord of my life. There is a day in my life that I can go back to and say at that very moment, right then, I prayed that prayer, I asked Jesus in my life, and I know based on what God's Word says, not what some preacher told me, not what somebody else told me, but based on what God's Word says, that if I will do that, then I'm saved tonight. And based on those words here tonight, hearing those words and knowing that you have that in your life, you ought to be thankful this evening. You ought to sit back and thank God. But now listen, if there is not a time in your life where you can go back to and say, and listen, I'm not saying know the exact date and the exact time. It was just ingrained into my mind that on July the 6th, 1986, bowing on my knee at that Lord, awful green couch of Brother Wayne Scarborough's, knowing as I knelt down beside that thing and prayed right then, I know tonight, based on what the Word of God says, not what Rhonda told me, not the fact that Rhonda, the preacher's wife, led me in the sinner's prayer, that's irrelevant, but knowing what the Word of God says tonight, I know I'm saved. Now listen to this. We ought to be thankful for things such as that. But notice this. God has called us to Him by the gospel. Notice what He says. Verse 14. And it was for this He called you through our gospel. Well, what gospel is it? Is it Paul's gospel that he come up with? Of course not. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that Paul and his companions preached. It's the gospel that every preacher today ought to be preaching. That is salvation only through Jesus Christ. Listen, tonight you and I are to be living our lives as the fact that God Himself called us through the gospel. What does that mean? That means that somewhere along your life, it may be you might have been sitting back listening to some preacher boy somewhere preach. It might be that you was listening to someone of your family. It might be that you was listening to a coworker or a friend or an acquaintance, and this person is sharing the life-changing message that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right then, through those words, through the words of God Himself, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, and you realize right then that without Christ in my life, I'm going to die and spend eternity in hell itself. And I don't want to do that. I want to miss that. And based on that, right then, you got on your knees, you bowed your head, you closed your eyes, and you prayed what is known as the sinner's prayer. And from that moment forward, your life has not been the same. Amen. 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 I sat back, I told somebody just the other day, we was out visiting, I told them, I said, you know what? There's parts of my life tonight, there's parts of my life this day that I am so ashamed of, I wish God would just take out of my mind and erase that memory from my mind forever. For eternity, I just wish He would erase that and that it would be gone forever. There's things I've done and said and acted in my life that I wish He would just erase from my mind, that it would be totally gone. He hadn't done it yet. There's things flashing through my mind right now, standing on this stage, I wish to goodness was not in my mind. I'm seeing people and events in my mind right now I wish would have never happened. I've often wondered, God, why won't you just take that away from me? God, why don't you just remove that? You know what? I've come to realize this. I think there's a reason He hadn't. Because it reminds me what I once was and the road I was on, the road of destruction that I was on. And praise be unto God, I remember things like that, and I know tonight that praise God, and only by His grace and His mercy tonight am I no longer on that road. That now I'm on the road that's not destruction, but I am on the road of life itself, eternal life tonight. I know that tonight as I think about those things, praise be unto God, yes, those memories are still there, but praise the Lord as I look upon them that they are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and they have been washed away. Yes, they are just that. They are only memories. They are not sin no more in the eyes of God. I have been washed clean of that, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that He has forgiven me of that. And the only reason for that, the only reason for that, listen to me, church, the only reason for that is there was, back in the 1980s, a teenage, long-haired teenage boy that sat on the front pew of a church and listened to a little preacher and thought to himself, I wish this man would shut up where I could go home. Ain't nobody can talk that long. My gracious, ain't nobody got that much air in their lungs. And he would say in closing, I'd think to myself, well, thank God he's closing. I'm ready to go home. But do you know what I didn't realize then, but I realized it tonight. As I would sit there, because I was a long-haired teenage boy sitting right there on that front row. As I would sit there and I would be hearing this man talk, and in my mind I'd be thinking to myself, I wish he'd shut up where I could go home. At that very moment, that man was preaching the Word of God. I didn't realize it. I didn't then, but I do now. That at that very moment, when that man began to speak the words of truth found in this book, whenever he would begin to speak and read the words of truth, that at that moment, those words were hitting me deep inside here. And then through that, through the gospel that Paul speaks of right there, that He called me. Amen. Has He called you yet? Can you go back to a point in your life and say at that very moment, He called me? I'm not talking about you deciding and you saying, well, you know what? I think I'm going to try to live this Christian life. I'm going to try to be the best person I can be. I'm going to act good. I'm not going to do too many bad things. And that, based on that, that's my salvation. You're dying and going to hell tonight. But if He's called you, if He's drawn you to Him, oh man, oh listen friends tonight. You got every reason tonight to be thankful, and you got every reason tonight to live the life that Paul's speaking of right here. Oh yeah, you can anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ, but it's not an anticipation of anxiety and worry. It's an anticipation of joy. It's an anticipation of celebration. But notice, there's one last thing I want us to see. He called us by the gospel. Finally, listen to this. He says in verse 15, this is where we're going in right here. He says in verse 15, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Paul says, whether you've heard this by preaching or whether you've heard it by the letters we've sent you, stand firm on it. Let me just say this to you tonight. For Paul and his companions in that day and age right there, that was hard. I mean, I want you to think about it. Paul himself, for preaching the Word of God, was stoned, drug out of a city, left for dead. Stoned. He gets his partners and his buddies and he says, hey, let's go on down the road down here. We're going to preach a little bit longer down here. I don't think these folks have heard about Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute, Paul, they left you for dead. They just stoned you. I know, but somebody else needs to hear this gospel. What's so intriguing about that is not only the fact that Paul, once he preached that, he said, you know what, guys, listen to me. Looked around at his companions. You know that city, you know Lystra, we come from, where they stoned me and left for me dead. By the way, I think there's two more people down there that hasn't heard the gospel. Let's go back down there. I would have loved to have seen their face. Paul, have you lost your mind? These people are going to kill you. These people are going to kill you right here in the street. They're going to stone, man, they're not just going to stone you and think you're dead. They're going to know you're dead this time. What do you mean? Oh, my gracious. Because see, Paul knew this one fact that every believer in this room ought to know tonight. To live is Christ, but to die is gain tonight. Hey, that's not a scary statement. That's not a scary one tonight. Oh, that is the anticipation of knowing that eternity is with Christ Himself tonight. Why did I say that? Why did you say that, preacher boy? I said it because of this. Because not only was it hard in Paul's day and age, but I'm here to tell you tonight it's hard to be a believer tonight in the 21st century. You can amen that. Amen. It's hard. It's hard to stand firm because you know it as well as I do. When you go back to your jobs tomorrow or go out to your place of business or just out in the world, I'm here to tell you, listen to me. You're different. At least you ought to be. You ought to be a square peg in a round hole. You just don't fit. You're different. It's all right to be different in this way. It's all right to be that way. Because see, tonight, as Paul tells this church, and it echoes into this room right here, he says, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught. If you were in my CLU class tonight, we talked about worldviews and I asked the question, I said, have you got a worldview? Well, I'd be willing to say this, and my class that was in there with me, I'd be willing to say this tonight, every person in this room right here tonight, you got a worldview. Worldview? What's he talking about worldview? Because this, let's just follow me on this. If you're a born-again believer in here tonight, then your worldview is this, that every person ought to strive to do the best they can to live the Word of God. Okay? Now, there are conflicting worldviews. There's Christian worldview, which I just described, and then there's a secular worldview. It's a more materialistic, humanistic, atheistic side of things, and these worldviews are at odds tonight. Paul is telling us this, and if I can put it in 21st century vocabulary, he's telling us this right there in the latter part of that chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he says to stand firm, listen to this, to stand firm and hold to the traditions which you have been taught. He's saying this, that not only do you say I have a Christian worldview, that I believe the things that I heard down at the church house yesterday, but when you go out into the world tonight and tomorrow, you live them. So I ask you tonight, as Paul says here, Paul tells, begins his discussion here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with eschatology. He points to the end of time and says these words, that there's things that must happen. There must be an apostasy. There must be a falling away of believers. There must be that happens. And secondly, there must be this man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, of destruction, that must come onto the scene. He begins to describe the characteristics of this individual and who this person, how we can identify who this person is by their actions. But then he ends the entire chapter by saying simply this: live the Christian life. Stand firm. Yes, anticipate and be excited about the return of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, stand firm and live the life. Father God, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, what it says, what it means to us this evening. And Father, I just pray this evening. There may be somebody inside this room right here tonight. God, I don't know who they are. Lord, you do. And they know tonight if your spirit is speaking to them. They know that. And Lord, I pray here as we're about to have this invitation time and how we're about to give an opportunity for people to come to the altar, come here to have someone pray with them, that God, I pray that you would just give them power and strength like they've never had before, that God, they're able to this evening, right now, put all their fear aside, and God, they're able to come to you. Father, there may be somebody in this room here tonight that does not know your son as Savior. They don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior tonight. And God, I pray for that person, whoever they may be, that right here this evening, right now, that God, they would even come forward before we even begin to sing tonight. That God, they would come forward, get on their knees, begin to pray to you and ask for your forgiveness and ask for your touch in their life. God, I pray that for them tonight. Lord, what I pray this evening is what I prayed this morning. As you answered that prayer this morning, God, I believe you're going to answer it tonight. That God, we see a life change tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Allen, lead us.
Stand as you sing.